Oh, it's good to see everybody this morning. I'm just going to ask that you find Psalm 116 in your Bible. Turn there with me. Psalm 116. Questions that I'm happy I won't have to continue answering is the question, which building are we meeting in? I usually get about four or five phone calls a week by people asking me that question. Brothers and sisters, this is now our home. And this is now our family. Wow, I feel like a presidential candidate here. What else can I say? And we're going to war. No. Yes. The one fear that I had is just when I recognized that there's a grave being built on the side over there that happens to be my size. I hope nobody has a sign saying he tried but he died or something like that. Speaking of death, please turn with me to 116. Psalm 116. And here's what the psalmist says. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. And then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Father, we come into your presence this morning as needy people. We need you. We need your spirit. We need your word. We need your guidance. And we confess ourselves to be needy people before you. And we come before a God who enriches people with grace and mercy. And today, Lord, we rejoice in your presence because you have been good and you are good. I pray that as we spend time with this psalm, that you will speak directly to each person here, to us as a new community. I pray, Lord, that we would hear from you. May your name be glorified today and your people be built up. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at verse 3 of Psalm 116, you see that the psalmist had a very close call with death. He's at death's door, as it were. And it seemed to him that there was no escaping it. He was considering the possibility that these were the last days of his life. He saw himself in a very hopeless situation. And like many people who find themselves in that kind of scenario, they don't want to die. They don't want this to be the end. And so what the psalmist does is he turns to God in his hopelessness. He turns to him and asks God, God, extend my life. Have mercy upon me. Let me experience a new beginning, a new chance. And he says that after he prayed to the Lord, that the Lord heard his cry and answered his prayer. And so this psalm is full of very deep emotion, of deep gratitude, because God heard his prayer. And when he comes to verse 12, there's a question that's on his heart and on his mind, and he asks this question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How can I respond? What is the right way to respond to a God who gives me a new beginning? Now, as you know, not everyone is given a second chance. If you've been listening to the news, we hear all the time of people who perish. And today as well, I think of the thief on the cross. He wasn't given a second chance, at least not physically, because he died. But his was a testimony also of a dying man who realized his hopeless situation, who realized that very soon he would be in the presence of God, having to give an account for God. And he was full of anxiety. He was full of distress. And he turned to the Lord and he said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And the Lord said to him, truly, I say to you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And I tell you, that beginning is even a greater beginning than just simply to be saved from physical death. It's the beginning of a new life. It's a beginning of eternal life. But it reminds us as we go through the scriptures that God is the God of new beginnings. And I couldn't help but just remember again my own life and just finding myself in bondage and in a dark and hopeless situation. And when God heard my cry, even though I didn't know I was crying out for him, I was crying for a new beginning. Is there any way to start life over again? I've messed up so badly. And again, God in his mercy heard my cry. I remember telling my friends, I wasn't raised in a Christian family, but I remember telling my friends the day after, I said, you know, I feel like I've been born again, and I had never heard those words before. Just realizing that God had given me an opportunity to start again. And it wasn't long before I also was asking this same question that the psalm asks. Now that God has given me new life, a new chance, new beginning, how can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? What shall I do in response to the amazing grace that I've just experienced? Friends, there's physical death, and sometimes people get a second chance, and sometimes spiritual death, and people find new life. And there's another death that we're all aware of, no doubt, that can create a lot of distress and anguish. And that's what I'll call an ecclesiastical death. It's when churches have to close their doors. And I've heard of so many churches, some of them very old and have been serving the Lord for many, many years faithfully. Others that have started up and tried their best, but many of them have come to a point where they realize, friends, we have to close our doors. We just can't go on anymore. And there's so many churches that have that story. But today, you and I are recipients of God's mercy and grace. He has said to Ruth Morton, he has said to 19th, I'm not finished with you. Today I will give you a new beginning. And many of us over the years have come, have experienced times when we were under great distress, especially those of us in leadership, and we could almost see death's door. And we talked about the possibility that maybe very soon we may have to close our doors. That might be it. And I know many of you have prayed and turned to God as the only hope. God, turn this around. There's more in us. We want to give more. And God was merciful. And God showed his amazing grace. And today, I feel it's important for everybody in this room to ask this question that the psalmist is asking in verse 12. What now shall I render to the Lord for his benefits to us? A very important question. Very important. I recall visiting a woman at the hospital, and she was afraid that she was going to die. She professed faith in God, but never really lived for the Lord. And she was in deep anguish, and she told me that she was praying that the Lord would extend her life. And I asked her the question that I find here in verse 12, and I said, if the Lord does extend your life, if he does give you a second chance, what would be different? And all she could come up with was simply that she would continue to live the way she's always lived, but try to enjoy it more. That's all. It wasn't to live more for God. It wasn't to get more serious about her faith. It was that this time I'll really make sure I go out and do the things I really want to do and see the places I really want to see. That was how she responded to a new beginning, or if she had gotten a new beginning. I think it's an important question for all of us as believers, especially to ask. You remember the 10 lepers? Just imagine how terrible a life it must have been for those lepers. And one day, Jesus heals all 10 of them. How many of them returned? One. One of them returned back. One of them said, how can I repay the Lord? How can I show my gratitude to him? I want to ask, if the Lord heals you, many of you have been praying for healing. At our last prayer meeting, a number of people mentioned how God had healed them. What are you going to do now that God has healed you? What are you going to do? If you're given a new job this day and it's a new beginning and you've been discouraged and depressed about not working and you've cried out to the Lord and you've asked people to pray and now suddenly a new job has come up, I ask you the same question. How will you repay the Lord for what he's given you? Because I tell you, I remember cases of people who asked the church to pray for them, that they would get a new job. And when they got a new job, it just became a matter of being more focused about their career than ever before. They disappeared. What do you do if God gives you a new beginning? I think it's an important question if we have been struggling financially. And all of a sudden, after many years of financial hardship, the Lord seems to bless us. I want to ask everybody in that situation, what will you render unto the Lord now that he has given you a new beginning? What's it going to be? And the amazing part of the amazing challenge here in these verses is that the psalmist doesn't focus merely on one benefit. Do you see how he asks the question, even though it started with one? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? All of them. When I put it all together, every blessing that God has given me, what do I do with it? How do I give him thanks? ask again to us as a church, if God has given us a new beginning, a second chance, how are we going to respond to this? What is the appropriate response? So let's work through the psalm and see what the psalmist did and how he responded and how he reflected on the fact that he has a new beginning. And he can't even bring himself to wait to explain how he's going to respond. In verse 1, he says it all. Before he tells you about the problem, he's already saying, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and pleads for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. I love the Lord. You know what I'm going to do? I am going to proclaim openly my love for Jesus. I'm going to proclaim openly my love for God because of what he has done for me. Again, friends, I want to emphasize, God did not have to do this for us. He does not have to save people who are dying physically. He does not have to save people who are rebellious against him and are not turning to him. And he does not have to provide churches with a new beginning. He doesn't have to. This is an act of mercy and kindness and grace. And I think we need to respond by saying, we shall love the Lord for what he has done for us this day. Remember the story about the prostitute who walked uninvited into the Pharisee's home. And she went and sat down, kneeled down next to Jesus and started washing his feet with her hair. Why did she do that? Why did she do it? Jesus knew why she did it. She had received a new beginning, a new chance. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, he who has been forgiven much loveth much. When people have received benefits from God, they begin to love God in a way that they did not love him before. And I would say, let the love of God grow in our hearts as a result of what's happening here today. Let us give him the praise. Let us have bigger hearts for God. Let this church be known for their love for Jesus. Let our motivations in all that we do now be love for God. Let the love of God define us. In verses 8 and 9, we find another way that the psalmist wants to show forth his love for God. And he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord. The idea there is that I'm going to so live my life that I don't want to have anything to hide from God from this moment on. I will be an open book before him. For many, we live before people, and so we hide much. But when we have a commitment to live before God, then we are open to him, and we know that his eyes are upon us. I believe that this is a call to holiness, that from this day forward, I will live a life of holiness in such a way that I have not lived before. Again, there's a well-known story in Scripture about a woman who was caught in adultery. And as you know, people who commit adultery are often hiding it all, not living in the eyes of God. But she got caught, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they caught her, they brought her before Jesus, and they were ready to stone her. She was facing death. She was facing the end. And they wanted Jesus to pronounce that final sentence on her, but instead he offered her hope. He offered her a new beginning. But before she left, he spoke some words to her of what he wanted her to do and think now that she had been given a new beginning. And his words to this woman that who had just been given a new beginning was, go and sin no more. When God gives us a new beginning, we should make every effort to make sure that we do not repeat the sins that brought us into the realm of death. For us as a new congregation, I want to challenge all of us. Friends, whatever wrong attitudes or wrong behavior that we brought into the church that may have in any way contributed to the possible death of the church, I plead with all of us, go and sin no more. If there was apathy, and believe me, apathy will kill churches. If there was apathy, go and sin no more. Let there be zeal now for God. If there was quarreling and a spirit of criticism and unforgiveness, may I encourage all of us, now that we have a new beginning, let love reign. Let forgiveness reign. Let there be peace and pursue peace. If people have been pursuing individualism, and believe me, individualism will kill a church. It's all about me. If that has been the attitude, then I encourage everybody, now that God is giving us a new beginning, let us consider others and not just ourselves. Friends, if there's been pride, and pride kills churches, let us ask God for humility now that he has given us a new beginning. If there's been love of power and love of position, now that God has given us a new beginning, let us go and sin no more. That is something we can do in gratitude to the God who gives us a new beginning this day. And then in Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13, David tells us, he has this prayer. He says to the Lord, Lord, if you restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit, then I will teach transgressors your ways. See what he's saying? Oh God, I messed up so badly in my life. But if you give me a second chance, a new beginning, I will see to it that from this day forward, I will teach transgressors your ways. See, before that, he was able to teach transgressors his ways. He was able, if he wanted to, he could, hey, guys, I know how you can get away with lying. I know how you can get away with murder. I've been doing it. I know how to hide sins. I can teach you that. But God exposed him, and now that he's out in the open, he says, if you give me this new beginning, I will teach transgressors your ways. I will go and tell people of the God of new beginnings, the God of hope, the God who forgives people. There was a man who lived by the tombs. He had an unclean spirit, and one day Jesus saved him. And this man wanted to go with Jesus and follow him because Jesus gave him a new beginning. And Jesus said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. What a wonderful thing to do with a new beginning. Can I really encourage all of us as a new community that we will do the same? Lord, if you bring us together, we vow to teach transgressors your ways. We vow, Lord, to have the gospel at the heart of our ministry, at the heart of our church. We vow to give people hope just as you gave hope to us, because you gave us a new beginning. Friends, if we can just determine by God's grace, with conviction, prayer, and faith, that we will strive to fulfill the Great Commission. What a great beginning. What a great way to follow the Lord. And then in verse 16, the psalmist goes on, O Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have loosed my bonds. It's a great Mother's Day verse, actually, that he reminds the Lord of his mother, that his mother has had an impact on why he became the person he did. He says, O Lord, I am your servant. I am resolved to be a servant of God. Again, in Mark chapter 1, verse 30, we read about Peter's mother, and she was very ill with a fever, and they told Jesus about it. And Jesus came, and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And you know what it says after about Peter's mother, what she began to do? And she began to serve them. This is how she responded. If you give me a new beginning, Lord, I will serve you. I will serve you. That's how she responded. After the resurrection, you remember Jesus came to Peter. And Peter was very discouraged about everything that had happened. He had denied Christ three times. And Jesus came to Peter and restored him and said, Peter, I want you to feed my lambs and tend to my sheep. And I believe that as we have a new beginning in this church, that each one of us should be asking the Lord this question. Lord, now that you've given us a new beginning, how can I serve you in this place? What have you equipped me to do? Where do you want me to shine for you? It's a new beginning. I want to honor you. And friends, there's so many different places that we can serve the Lord. And I trust that each one of us, prayerfully and in talking with our brothers and sisters, that we will find our place. And then the psalmist says as well, given that the Lord has heard my prayer for a new beginning, from this day forth, I shall call upon the name of the Lord. He says, the Lord answered our prayers. And because he answered my prayer, I am going to become a more prayerful person. A person that now realizes that God really is listening to us. And if he has answered this prayer, then let me pray for the lost. Let me pray for the church. Let me pray for the leaders. Let me pray for the ministries of the church. What a wonderful way for us to respond. This now is a time for us to begin praying together because it is a new beginning and the Lord has heard our prayer. At the heart of this psalm, it is filled with joy. And you will notice how he ends the psalm. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you give me an opportunity, Lord, to start again, a new beginning means for me that it will be a time of celebration. I will celebrate the goodness of God in my life. I will celebrate the goodness of God in the community. One of the wonderful things about the psalmist here is that there's nowhere in here where he says to himself, oh, this was just a fluke. This was just luck that I have a new beginning. This is just a fluke that we happen to be here together. It's just a fluke that we heard about each other. It's just a fluke that all the circumstances happen to move us in this direction. The psalmist says, he has heard my voice. He inclined his ear to me. The Lord has preserved me. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord delivered me. The Lord has loosed my chains. Friends, let us remove the idea that this has anything to do with luck and instead recognize that this has been the kindness and goodness and the mercy of the Lord given unto us, and we today are here to see it. And I just pray that we will become a people of worship, that that it won't just be a duty, but it'll be a privilege, a joyful privilege, to come before God and worship him because he has been mindful of us. As well, I would say just one word of caution for all of us. Let's be careful not to repeat the sin of the Israelites who came out of Egypt. Boy, were they ever glad when God gave them a new beginning, weren't they? We've been slaves all these years. We've experienced hardship. It's been terrible. And then one day the Lord delivers them and they're full of joy and full of happiness. And then in due time, however, they encounter obstacles. They encounter trouble. They encounter issues with leaders. They encounter issues with other people, with the weather. And what do they begin to do? They begin to murmur and grumble against the Lord. For them, they thought, now that we have a new beginning, no more problems. All the problems are gone. Do you remember that picture that I had everybody read that's been in the bulletin, two rivers, and then eventually it all comes together in one place and it's chaotic there? Friends, we're entering into the great tribulation in some ways. There will be a time of conflict. There will be a time where God stretches people. And God wanted to stretch the Israelites. He wanted to teach them how to trust Him. Teach them things that they hadn't learned before. And teach them to have a depth of relationship they hadn't experienced before. Can I really encourage all of us with this new beginning? Let us make every effort to do everything without complaining and grumbling. It's a great new beginning for us. There will be difficulties, there will be troubles, but keep in mind just the goodness of the Lord to each one of us this day, the goodness of the Lord to our congregation. And then finally, let me say just a few more words. I want to talk or address young people here. You know, young people, you've been given a new beginning. You haven't been around for very long. And I try to give thanks to God every day before I start my day, and I just say, today is a gift. Every new day is a new beginning. Give thanks to the Lord. Worship before you work. Worship before you go to school. And then when you go to work and to school, worship more. Don't stop worship. But as you begin your life, as you begin your teens, as you begin your 20s, I encourage you to take heed of what the psalmist has learned. The Lord has given me a new beginning. There's so many kids that don't make it to their teens, don't make it to their 20s. You have an opportunity. Live for God. Live for Him. Don't take new beginnings for granted. And finally, I'll just say that the psalmist is very serious about this. He will not take this easily or for granted. And that's why he's constantly saying, I will, I will, I will. I am determined to pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. He's not going to be some kind of secret disciple of Christ. He has made a vow. He's made a covenant. From this day forward, I am going to live a different kind of life. Why? Because by God's grace, He has given me a new chance. Today, friends, we are witnessing a work of God. What shall we do? Our Father, thank You. I thank You for all the new beginnings that You give to people every day. And I thank You especially for the new beginning that we have today. I pray, Lord, that our eyes may be upon You, that our hearts may just be filled with the love of God and the love for God and the love for the lost. I thank You, Lord, that today You're telling us that You weren't finished with us, that You have something more for us to do. I pray that we will be a people who will glorify You and that it will be known not just in this place, but in this neighborhood and beyond, because you are worthy. Amen.